for Jessica and the Williams. I'm not sure that my second childhood won't be better than the first, for all the right reasons. I wish you could have been there just to smell and hear how time passed then, as yours passes, in scents and sounds I'm privileged to share. Still, there's a tale of the politics of time that hasn't changed one Whitson's bit and will hold for every feast day. The world of 1944 was brown and acrid in summer, dank and rank in what passed for winter, even around the sickbed. Given the thousand-minute hours prefiguring essence of hell for endless aching, fevered four-year-old rheumatics in wartime, when bombs might seek us huddled at siren call under the massive maple table, given the shredding of old Brooklyn Eagles, lives, times, to make pieces for non-existent, even yet unimagined games. Given the bold new world of hucksterism, shining and bringing in an Uncle Don to every despised quasi-nephew in Buster's shoes, the family council presented me with a fifth-hand RCA bedside presbyopticon, a worshipful congregation of old nags, three-penny dreadfuls, unartful dodgers, unslaked thirsts, alien alleys, rainbow illuminance, and myriad plastic come-alongs. Science was the magic word even then, and the encouragement of madcap drunken street dances celebrating urban August in Japan led to new experiments in combinatorial magic. Unfortunately, soaking the magic decoder ring in Ovaltine had no more effect than peering through the holes in backing Masonite, hoping to see Musial and Barney face off at Ebbets Field in the evening stained iron glow flooding my cathodic cathedral. That was the year my brother, who'd spent a decade unraveling in the counterpane prison before paroled chess and cello, raided the library and brought books with more convincingly impossible stories and real images to wander through in the obligatory darkness adults believed brought healing. No other intoxicant has ever held the escape of those magic marks on finger-muddled, twice-alive pulp. In 6 months, I was sneaking volume 6 of The Maroon Miracle, Compton's compendium of everything a child could ever imagine, down to the bucket brigade, through the esophagus, and the great seething gastric boiler room, from which all noxious odors were exported via the Lincoln and Holland tunnels to my grandfather's apartment in East Orange, a place so void of citrus that I never trusted meaning again. But ah, the words, the lovely, mutable, rearrangeable, costumable, consumable, cosseting, compelling, melding, molding, molting, melting words. Even numbers never became better playmates for the dark hours, and the words I still so freely prescribe as anodyne for miseries of mind are lineal descendants of those magic days, of the morning when a cloud was blown away from the moon, and even though no one would believe me, I saw the crack of dawn. The urn, root enfolded in his daughter's garden, holds a few hundred wonderfully malformed words and my brother's immutably geologic presence.